have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? My name is Honey Schwebel, Stefania Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Israel, Yediah Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Israel now entering the sanctuary. I would now like to turn it over to Benjamin Alexander Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Title of my speech is Yisro Hawkins is the greatest teacher in the world. Yisro Hawkins teaches us righteousness, and he teaches the world too. Please turn to Deuteronomy 6, verse 25. And it says, It will be our righteousness if we observe to do all this law before Yahweh our Father as he has commanded us. We must learn to teach and teach what we've learned. He teaches us that the Creator's name is Yahweh. He teaches us not to be evil as the gods, that Yahweh is the standard of perfect righteousness. Please turn to Matthew 19, verse 17. Found on page 747. And it says, but he said to him, why do you question me about righteousness? There is only one who is the standard of perfection, and that is Yahweh. So if you would enter into life, keep the laws of Yahweh. Israel Hawkins did not teach us sin. Israel Hawkins teaches us to be teachers like him. Israel Hawkins teaches us to be teachers like him. I hope we all like to be teachers. I hope we all want to be teachers of righteousness. Please turn to Isaiah 54, verse 13. Found on page 565. And it says, all your children will be taught by Yahweh, and great will be the peace of your children. We must believe the words of our one sense. In the 13th book of Yeshua, chapter 9, verse 55, says, well, I say, do you know, Yahweh says he's going to take this spirit that he puts upon me, and what did he say he's going to do with it? So if I'm the greatest teacher in the world, this family of mine, my children, are going to be the greatest teachers in the universe. Praise Yahweh. And he said, these words will never leave your mouth, nor will they leave the mouth of your children forever. Isn't that beautiful? Praise Yahweh. Please turn to Isaiah 42, verse 6, found on page 556. I, Yahweh, have called you in righteousness and hold your hand. I keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, nations. In Yochanan 9, verse 5, Yeshua said, that as long as he was in the world, he was the light of the world. He is no longer in the world, and he had not gone to the Gentiles before he was resurrected and left earth. Who is the light of the world now, and who is bringing the message to the Gentiles? Meaning all the nations? Yes, Israel Hawkins. Isaiah 42, verse 6 is talking about Israel Hawkins and this last day's work. Israel Hawkins is bringing the light of the law to the world. The only teacher who does this, the greatest teacher in the world. May I bless your understanding, and now to turn it over to Sonny Israel's prayer.
Son of Israel Abel, Deacon Israel Abel Hawkins.
Much shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my sermon today is When Times Get Tough, Never Give Up. If you turn over to 1 Corinthians, chapter 16, and look at verse 13. It says here, watch, stand firm in the faith, be brave, and be strong. Now, I'm not going to present you with a miracle fix for all your problems, but I can give you a few points to help you through these times of trouble. So, first of all, you need to have courage. Now, the definition of courage from Webster's is the ability to do something that you know is difficult or dangerous. Mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. And from the Building Moral Excellence, it says that courage is the act of doing what needs to be done, even when you are afraid. Okay, another important thing is attitude. You have to maintain a positive attitude in times of trouble. If you have a negative attitude about what you're trying to do, it won't always work out right. So you have to maintain a positive attitude. The next thing, being consistent. Consistent, from the Webster's, means always acting or behaving in the same way, of the same quality, especially great each time. Look over to Galatians. Chapter 6. And verse 9, it says here, and let us not grow weary of doing righteousness, for in due time we will reap if we do not faint, if we endure to the end. So being consistent, doing great each time, doing it to the best of your ability every time. It also means possessing firmness. And look at verse 10 there. It says, therefore, as the opportunity arises, let us do righteousness to all, especially to the members of the family of the faith, the house of Yahweh. Okay, you have to persevere, which means to continue doing something or trying to do something, even though it is difficult. Look over to Jacob, chapter 1, and verse 12. It says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been proved, he will receive the crown and life which Yahweh has promised to those who love him. So persevering, continuing to do something even though it is tough. It also means to persist in a state, enterprise, or undertaking in spite of counter influences, opposition, or discouragement. So hang in there. Someone once said that the test of success is not what you do when you're on top. Success is how high you bounce when you hit bottom. So even when you hit bottom, you got to get back up. You can't just stay on the bottom. You got to pick yourself back up and keep going. All right, another thing, you've got to have integrity, being honest and fair, having a positive character, and then showing that in your actions and attitude. And one of the synonyms, I was looking this up this morning, one of the synonyms for integrity was actually righteousness. Okay, another thing you got to be is optimistic. Now, the Peaceful Solution is famous for its example of the cup being half empty and the cup being half full. From the Building Moral Excellence on page 20, the definition of optimistic means, or it says here, the ability to look on the bright side of things and to find what is positive in a situation or event to anticipate the best possible outcome. And from the respect unit, on page 34, being optimistic, it says, optimism, pessimism, and your thoughts. Being optimistic is a positive character trait that will enable you to expect the best possible outcome from a situation. Optimistic people are hopeful and encouraging to themselves and others. Skipping down, it tells us that pessimistic people are negative thinkers. And going over to page 35, it says, think about it. Being an optimistic, positive thinker takes practice, practice, and more practice. However, you must first become aware of some of the differences between a negative and a positive thinker before you can begin training yourself to think positively. It says negative thinkers have self-criticism or negative self-talk, pessimistic expectations, and low self-worth. On the other hand, positive thinkers have positive self-talk. For example, I can learn from my mistakes, I will do better next time. They have optimistic expectations, for example, things will work out okay. And they also have confidence. As long as I continue to build a positive character, I will make the right choices. So you have to be optimistic, looking at the positive side of things, even in times that everything may look negative. And lastly, never give up. Success comes to those who have an entire mountain of gold that they continually mine, not those who find one nugget and try to live on it for 50 years. You know what? The teachings of the House of Yahweh, the publications, the books, you have an entire mountain of gold here that you can continually mine through these times. So continually mine on those. Turn over to 1 Timothy in closing. Chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, fight the righteous fight of the faith, lay hold on eternal life, for to this you were also called, and have confessed the righteous confession in the presence of many witnesses. So fight the righteous fight of the faith, and hold on, never give up. And with that, if you'll all please stand. I'll turn the services over to the great Deacon Yada Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech is The Prophecies for the Seventh Work is at Hand. And if you turn over to Yochanan, chapter 6, verse 29. And it says, Yeshua answered and said to them, this is the work of Yahweh, that you believe into him, which is the last day's witness, whom he, Yahweh, has sent. And we really need to believe in this man. He's very awesome, very awesome. And I want to bring your mind back to remembrance on these pictures here. tuberculosis and the bovine tuberculosis in white-tailed deer. And here's an update that hunters are warned to look out for bovine tuberculosis in wild deer. And this is the Michigan Department of Natural Resources called it an emerging disease, which has recently affected a large beef herd in Michigan. And the Associated Press reports it's the third herd of cattle to be identified with bovine TB in the state. And what they're encouraging the hunters to do is to have their deer tested, even if it looks healthy. And these lesions come in many different forms. And you can see some of them here. And you can see the discoloration of the blood in there. It's kind of like a greenish blue, which is not right. And these little pockets here, those are abscess pockets, okay? And then there was another, just recently this week, or this previous week of the last month, the 31st day, there was another discovery in Dane County, Washington, on another dairy herd. And that was another bovine infection. And they quarantined that. And the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture Trade and Commission Protection confirmed on October 30th that a dairy herd in Dane County, Wisconsin, has tested positive for bovine tuberculosis. After meat inspectors identified a carcass during a routine slaughter inspection and sent a sample to the National Veterinary Service Laboratory for testing. Through animal identification records, the carcass was traced back to a herd in Dane County and that they immediately quarantined it. Quarantine prevents any animals from moving into or off the farm. And the state veterinarian, Dr. Darlene Condell, said our staff and partners trained for these types of responses are taking the necessary steps to protect animal and human health. And we do that here in the House of Yahweh. We protect the animals and make sure that they're protected in a way of eating so it doesn't get into our food chain. And I'll show you some zones that Texas is even presenting now to protect the state of Texas. And it goes on here, the food safety laws prevent meat from infected animals from entering the food chain. And this is one of the articles that I had last week. And this is in Cedar Park, Texas, which is 3 hours away. And what they're doing, they're telling the people, you know, because of the cause of bacteria that targeted the respiratory system in both humans and animals, and it's the same thing. The tuberculosis, okay? So the disease in white-tailed deer, however, bovine tuberculosis, has been known to affect a wide range of animals. However, wild deer herd, as well as other species, may be affected in addition to livestock. And they're saying that the deer and cattle is of particular importance of Texas, and it is. They've protected their cattle for a long time. They don't allow the diseases to come in here and affect the rest of the state. And these people down here in Cedar Park, Texas, are asking the people to take heed into this bovine tuberculosis. In other words, don't look over it, you know. And here's some, this shows you that Texas is protecting their state. These are check stations that they're putting all over the outside corners of the state, Pecos check station. And it gives a list here of where you can take things, your deer or whatever, to get it tested. And then you got South Central check stations. Okay, let me get that up there. So they're putting this all around to protect this state. And Yahweh's hands in this. His hands are in this big time. Yeah, it's praise Yahweh for that. And then you got up in the panhandle too. They got all these check stations, so nothing is allowed in the state of Texas. And right now, we haven't seen anything here. Okay? So that's a blessing from praise Father Yahweh. Yeah, praise Yahweh. And in the 16th book of Israel, chapter 18, verse 13, Pastor states here that according to the report, around 60% of all infectious disease in humans are zoonotic, as are 75% of all emerging infectious disease. And on an average, one new infectious disease emerges. And you remember back here in this article right here where it says, you know, that it's emerging again in Michigan, okay, in humans every 4 months. It said on an average, and this has been going on now for years. So it's been here, and it's going to take something to get rid of it, and I think we all know what that's going to be. And on the, I got another article here, the Center of Disease Control. Okay, and it says here, 1/4 of the world's population is infected with TB. And so I'll have to cover that at another later time. And I want to show you a couple of pictures right here. That's chlamydia bacteria and the microbe. And I want you to I want to show you the similarity. This is tuberculosis microbe, tuberculosis bacteria. Okay? So now you know there's a lot of similarity going on out there. And now I'd like to turn it over, if you all please stand, to the next speaker. Got a lot of paper here. I'd like to introduce the great Deacon Michael Office Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Shabbat Shalom, brethren. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We're going to go quickly, as we always do. So, For your notes, Isaiah 46:10, and I'll just read it real quick. Isaiah 46:10, and it says, 46:10 of Isaiah for your note. 46:7. And wait, that is right. 46:10. 46:10. That was correct. Declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, from those things which are not yet done, saying, my counsel will stand forever, and I will fulfill my plan. Yahweh will fulfill his plan. Now, for your notes, Isaiah 44, and of course, 1 talks about Yisrael and Jacob, the last two witnesses, and if the establishment of the house of Yahweh follows. And in verse 7, so that's Isaiah 44, 1 and 7, and who, as I, Yahweh, will foretell, and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things which are coming and will come, let them foretell them. The witness Israel, the house of Yahweh, and the teachers he appoints. He appoints the witness with great knowledge and wisdom, and he appoints teachers to bring forth these prophecies. It's the prophecies. The prophecies. Watch the prophecies. About in 1998, I started getting into a software program and research, and then I stopped because a priest started getting into it, so I stopped doing it. Well, this priest has since gone to sleep and is awaiting the resurrection. And over the last several years, it's been kind of eating at me. And over the last 6 months, it's been screaming in my ear. So I finally called our great teacher, Pastor Yisrael, and asked him if I should continue with it. And he said, yes, by all means. So now, let's go ahead and get into the Bible codes. Okay, this is my first search that I've done in quite some time. And I just entitled it 42 Moons because I just grabbed a topic, and that was one that's been being hit on in the house of Yahweh quite extensively. So this the skip for this, which is the amount of letters between each letter, the minimum was 13 and the maximum was 613. Now, I always use Yahweh numbers, you know, 13, 777, 1074. Whenever you're doing any kind of work that requires you to use numbers, use Yahweh numbers. You'll be amazed at what comes forward. Okay? The matrix location was Genesis 7:16, which is interesting in itself because it talks about Noah and his family and all the animals going into the ark, and Yahweh shut them in. 2, Genesis 13:3. The matrix date that I did this search was 10/28/2018. All right? So, of course, 42 moons is right here. 42 moons. Can we zoom in on this just a touch? There you go. That's great. That's 42 moons. Okay. And right here, crossing it, is May. Okay. May. And then 2018. Okay, so why is that significant, May 2018? Well, I started thinking, and after talking to the overseer, and he said that President Trump, had signed in the order to delay the moving of the embassy to Jerusalem. Everything's set up, ready to go. Even the signs on the roads are in place. But he held it back, and for a reason, okay? The next time that it's to be signed, if it was going to be delayed again, would be the 12th Roman month, the sixth day, which is December 6th, okay? So I started thinking, I'm like, okay, is December in there? And of course, it was, right here, all right? And I thought, okay, what about the days? May 14th, December 6th. Sure enough, and this came after I completed it. I had to pen them in. But here's May again. Here's 14th, so May 14th, 2018. December, and of course, 6 crosses December. So yes, it was there, okay? So I started thinking about it. I'm like, okay, well, how many days is that? It's 206 days. So the interesting thing, and this is from Google, it calculates 206 days, May 14th to December 6th, 206, let's see if I can separate these, it's like dollar bills. Okay, 206 is this word right here. In the Greek, the definition is highest extreme, but its usage is the end. So it's 206 days from May 14th to December 6th, and 206 or 206 in the Strong's Greek, the usage is the end or extremity. Okay, in the Hebrew, it was wickedness. Okay, so let's go back to the codes. So I started doing a little more searching, and I looked for pastor's name, and sure enough, Yisrael's right here. Yisrael. And then this right here is my son. Yisrael, my son. Then
I did some more searching and looking, and right here you have begin. Right here you have prepare. So, May 14th, 2018, 42 moons, with the moving of the embassy to Jerusalem, and we know that when that's all moved and in place and their staff is there and it's up and running, that the time will be no longer, the delay will be no longer, the last 3.5 years will begin. Yisrael, my son, begin to prepare. So, if we go over to Revelation, this is found on page 977. Revelation chapter 10 and verse 6. Revelation 10, verse 6. And it says, and vowed, and it's talking about the Malak. And in verse 5, it says, and the Malak which I saw standing upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hands to heaven and vowed by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, and the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be a time no longer delayed, which is what we had brought out in recently in the correct translation there. The time no longer delayed. It's the prophecies, brethren. We need to watch the prophecies. Prophecy proves all. No man can foretell the future. Prophecies foretell the future. But we have a man who can bring forth those prophecies to warn us and show us what's going on. That man's Yisrael Hawkins. So stay tuned. What does this all mean? If you'll all please stand, we'll let the priest bring that out. With honor, I get to introduce a great teacher, a great priest, and a dear friend, the great Kohan Benjamin Krauss Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Okay, this is really interesting because I didn't have a clue what the great deacon was going to speak about, but this is going to go right along with it, of course. Everything in Yahweh's house is inspired by Yahweh every step of the way. Can I have my first slide? The topic today is going to be the temple brochure gematria, and we're going to see how this fits right in with today's, what's the current events of today. Pastor wrote this booklet back in 1989. Okay, this came out, the first printing. Can I have my next slide? Recently, this is a news release from May 19th, 2017. That's when it came out on the World Wide Web. It says, Yisrael Hawkins says, keep that word in mind, that word says. Yisrael Hawkins says, Bible prophecy shows it's time to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem and explains the timeline in New Post. Now, this came out on May 19th. That's important to remember. Write that down. The next slide. On 12-6-17, this is from whitehouse.gov, there was a statement made by President Trump on Jerusalem, December 6, 2017, at 1:07 p.m. is when the speech started. That's interesting in itself, 10-7, like the seventh Moloch, the seventh trumpet, where he called on moving the embassy to Jerusalem. Okay, this is on 12-6-17. Can I have my next slide? Now, many people in Israel associate this move of the embassy with Trump, with the building of the third temple, okay, what they call the third temple. I know Pastor refers to it at times as the fourth, and there's a reason for that. But Trump's Jerusalem declaration is an enormous step toward bringing third temple. This came out the following day in the Breaking Israeli News article. Okay, so they associate this with rebuilding the temple. Can I have my next slide? Now, from that news release on 5/19/17 to 12/6/17, as you can see, it's 201 days. And that's significant.
Hebrew 201 means speaker. It's from word number 559. Remember that number, 559. And it means to say, to speak, to command. It means to challenge, to charge, declare, publish, report. Remember, pastor put out a news release. He published a news release with a challenge or with a command to rebuild this temple. Now look at Greek 201. It means to listen. Remember in Peaceful Solution, we teach about communication. You need a speaker and a listener. Okay, now listen to this. It means to listen, a hearer. Come to the ears. Be noised, be reported. A thing that comes to one's ears. Give ear to a teaching or a teacher. Okay, now what you're going to see is they heard this command go out from Yisrael Hawkins, and they took action. Watch this. Can I have my next slide? Remember what it says in Zechariah 9:1, the prophecy of doom of the word of Yahweh against the land of Hadrach and upon Damascus at rest, for the eyes of men and all the tribes of Israel will be upon Yahweh. In other words, the eyes and ears of this world are listening to this house right now. Whether we can see it with our own eyes or not, doesn't matter. Yahweh says they are listening and they're watching this work right here. And notice the gematria on that. You can drop that zero off that 10, the 10074. Drop the zero and you get 1074. Eyes watching us, 1074. And ears are listening. Now watch this. So come down to the next slide. Now notice the gematria shows the very date on which the United States Embassy move was announced. Look at what it says. It's time to rebuild, 1206. And notice the other number, 201. That's how many days it was from that news release to when Trump announced the move. Can you deny that? It's 201 days. Okay, now look. It says rebuild third temple. You get the same numbers. A temple to be rebuilt, the same numbers. And notice, adjoining separation. This is going to come in a little later as we talk about the temple, the rebuilding of that temple, and the dividing separation between the mosque and the house of Yahweh. But notice, the numbers 1206 and 201 show somebody heard this announcement. Can I have a next slide? Now, the announcement of the U.S. Embassy move was directly tied to the order or announcement proclamation of Yahweh's seventh Moloch on May 19, 2017. Notice, U.S. Embassy move, 1074. Okay, tying it in with the overseer and his announcement. Can I have my next slide if that's not enough proof? If you read Isaiah 44:28, and I'm going to read that to you. You don't need to turn there, but you can if you want. Let's turn, if you want, turn to Isaiah 44. In verse 28, I know in the King James it says Cyrus. It's not Cyrus, it's Yisrael Hawkins. Well, I'm going to prove it. It says, the one saying for uprightness, the one being my shepherd who will accomplish all my purpose, who will say to Jerusalem, you shall be rebuilt, and to the temple, your foundation shall be laid. Now notice verse 1. This is what Yahweh says to his anointed for uprightness, whom I have taken by his right hand. Okay, now if you notice in Isaiah 44:28, the word number 559 is that word to say and saying, or says and saying. Remember, Yisrael Hawkins says it's time to rebuild the temple. That word number 559 is used in this verse. And notice, in Hebrew, if you put in the words to build Jerusalem, you get whose number? Pastors. 1074. And I call them Zerubbabel Hawkins. Okay? Zerubbabel Hawkins, remember, he laid the foundation in his hands. We'll finish this work. Do you believe that, house of Yahweh? 1074. Now let's go to the next slide. Because if you notice that both words are Hebrew 559... And that takes us back to word number 201, as you recall, was from number 559. And it's the exact word used in Isaiah 44:28, where it means to say, to command, to challenge, to charge, to, you know, give the command, to publish. It's time to rebuild. Okay, the command went out and someone heard and action was taken. Remember the word number 559, because if you'll notice, turn the next slide. What page is Isaiah 44:28 found on? Page 559. Okay, it's showing you who was supposed to say it. Who gave the command was Israel Hawkins. It's undeniable. I'm sorry. It's undeniable. I'm not sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I'm sorry for people that don't believe the undeniable proof here, okay, of who Cyrus is. It's not Trump. Trump's not Cyrus. Okay, I know they put his face on a coin and called him Cyrus. He's not Cyrus. Our pastor is the one anointed for uprightness. You see that? Anointed for uprightness, 1074. That ties it to him. Now, can I have my next slide? All right. So if you notice, December 6, 2017, when he announced the move, you get 2424. May 14, 2018, when the embassy moved, you get 2424 in these dates. The time for rebuilding the temple is now, is also 2424. Well, what could this mean? Well, because 2424 means to revive, to repair, to restore, okay? To revive, to repair, to restore. Talking about this temple that needs to be rebuilt, that pastor spoke about years ago. And by the way, 2424, you know, is 48. In 1948, Israel was the nation of Israel was created, were recognized again. That was 70 years ago. 70 years ago this year. Okay? And remember the Babylonian captivity that took place for 70 years, and then the order was given to rebuild the temple. That was back in 536 BY. Can I have my next slide? Back to the peaceful solution to building the next temple, published in 1989. If you'll notice, it says, a peaceful solution to building the next temple, and it has been prophesied thousands of years in advance by the prophet Yekezkiah. And we're going to look at the gematria on that. Can we have the next slide? The first word, 8031, it means to do a third time. To do what a third time? To rebuild the temple, right? The third temple. To do a third time. To divide land into three parts. You know, the Temple Mount is sacred to three religions. Jewish, Christians, and Muslims. Okay? This is facts. Let's look at the next number, 8508. This is a mind blower. Because look here. Pastor has it in the Temple Mount brochure. It means to measure. And it's in the temple brochure, the actual number there, on page 10. It's undeniable, okay? It means to measure this pattern, you know, this measure the temple. By the way, today is 11-3. I found it interesting that Deacon Michael was up here talking about, remember it says in Revelation 11-3, and I will give to my two witnesses, and they will foretell events, right? That's interesting that he brought that today. I know it's also Moshe 25, but worldly 11:3. We got to think numbers all the time, you know. Especially, well, don't think about money. Think about numbers, okay? All right. Let's look at the next slide. Pastor was 48 years old in 1982 when he first went up on this Temple Mount. And if you notice, 48 years is 1206 in gematria and 201, the same numbers we just saw on that announcement and the number of days between the announcement and the move to Jerusalem, and announcing the move to Jerusalem. But notice this. There's another number, 1341, and it means to mount up, to rise, to rise. Really? Isn't that what he was told to do in Revelation 11:1? Let's look at it. Look at it. Turn over to Revelation 11:1. By the way, on 11:1, it was Moshe 23. This on this calendar. Moshe 23, look it up in gematria. It's 1934. And it meant 1934, and then it meant a hunchback, and then it meant someone devoted to study. Look it up yourself. Revelation 11:1. It says, and there was given me a reed like a measuring rod, and the Moloch stood saying, rise and measure the temple of Yahweh, and the altar and its confines where they worship within. So notice, amazingly, this number 1341 means that very thing, rise. Okay, and this was in 1982 when Pastor first went on that Temple Mount to begin that work of measuring the temple. Let's look at the next slide. Now, here's a coincidence. Revelation 11:1 and 1982, same numbers? Really? Wow. Okay, well, let's see what that 1308 means. It means to bear tidings. It means a messenger, to preach, to publish, to show forth, to announce great news, to tell great tidings. The very first page of the temple brochure, Pastor writes, I write to you in an attempt to help bring peace to Israel and to bring the worship of our Heavenly Father Yahweh back in Jerusalem and the Holy Mount. And then he also writes in Nehumia 1:15, it says, behold, upon the mountains, the feet of him who brings glad tidings, who publishes peace. O Yada, keep your appointed feasts, perform your vows, then the wicked will no longer invade you. He will be utterly cut off. And this is the message that the shepherd and elder of the house of Yahweh brought to the people there. He brought this message of this temple being rebuilt and how they could have peace if they did it according to the pattern he showed, that Yekeskia showed. Can I have my next slide? Now, this is showing the messenger bringing the glad tidings to those in Jerusalem if they would accept this plan. And this is the fulfillment of prophecy in Isaiah 41:27, which says, in the beginning I said to Zion, behold them, and I will give to Jerusalem one who brings glad tidings. Now, Pastor Israel Hawkins, he is the peace of Jerusalem because he brought this peace plan and showed them how they could have peace. Notice, the peace of Jerusalem has his tag number. Okay? Can I have my next slide? Pastor made an urgent plea to all nations on page 14. He said, this is a simple solution for peace. He called it a united peace plan for this generation. But notice, simple peace plan, a simple peaceful solution is 1074. The united peace plan is 1074, but it's also 666 because they have a choice to make. They can choose the tree of death, the 666, or they could accept this plan that Pastor gave them, and they could be the 1074. They've got the choice, though. Yahweh gives the choice. Now, what do you think they're going to do? Well, they're going to worship Baal in this temple, okay? They're not going to be worshiping Yahweh in this temple. Can I have my next slide? Now, I want to show you a picture. You hear about this Dome of the Rock? There it is, the one that's with the arrow pointing at it, the gold dome. And then you have the Dome of the Tablets there. Because we're going to be talking about that real quick. Can I have my next slide? Now, the Gematria shows the Dome of the Rock is spoken of as a building of a city on the south in Yekeskia 40, verse 2 and 5. And in the Gematria of Yekeskia 40, verse 2 and 5, you get the word number. The only word you can use, because it's four digits, is 2287. And it means to make a pilgrimage, to take oneself to or toward an object of reverence, to make a pilgrimage to Mecca. Make a pilgrimage. You know this Dome of the Rock? It's not really a mosque. It's a shrine. And inside of it, there's a rock that they reverence because they believe Muhammad went up on a white horse from that rock. But they also believe it's where the temple stood. Can I have my next slide? It says, the Dome of the Rock, it's not a mosque, but a Muslim shrine. Like the Kaaba in Mecca, notice, it's built over a sacred stone. And this stone is believed to be the place from which the Prophet Muhammad ascended. But it also mentions here, notice, at the bottom, the two ambulatories inside this thing recall the ritual circular movement of pilgrims around the Kaaba in Mecca. Now, there's three places that are holy to the Muslims. The first holiest place is Mecca in Saudi Arabia. The second is Medina in Saudi Arabia. And the third is the Dome of the Rock. And they make pilgrimages to this place. And notice, the Gematria shows pilgrimages to this place. It's showing you this Dome of the Rock. Can I have my next slide? The Gematria of Dome of the Rock. Look whose number's on there. 828. When you add up all those numbers right there, you get 1367, and it means a wall, a concrete object marking limit, a barrier in Ezekiel's temple, to adjoin. Remember, Yekezkel saw what's being described in these very definitions. Yekezkel 40 verse 5 says, "And behold, there was an adjoining separation, dividing structure around a temple." Well, let's look at a picture of it. Can I have my next slide? Here's what it would look like, okay? You see the Dome of the Rock there in the south, about 10.5 feet separation between the house of Yahweh and the Dome of the Rock, where the Muslims could continue to worship and the house of Yahweh could continue to worship on the other side without anybody having to lose anything, without any blood having to be shed, that there could be peace through this plan right here that your pastor showed and that Yekezkel showed in his measurements and his prophecy. Can I have my next slide? Now, Asher Kaufman, he on page 10, he talks about Asher Kaufman's work. In March 83, issue of the Biblical Archaeological Review, Dr. Asher Kaufman talked about where the ancient temple stood. I ran that in the Gematria, and you get the number 1818, okay, and 3030. That's interesting because 1818, that's pastor. That's the prophet spoken of in Deuteronomy 18:18 that we need to listen to. But it also points to 2018. Can I have my next slide? The other number in that Gematria is 3030. Did you know that it's been 3,030 years since King Solomon began construction on the original temple? This work began in 1012 BY. Look in your own book of Yahweh in 1 Kings 6:1. And it's been 30 years in 2018. Also, you know, 4848, if you add up all those 3030 and 1818, it's 4848, which is yelling 1948 when Israel was established, and also 70 years ago this year. Can I have my next slide? Pastor says this could be the salvation of Israel and Yada if they accept this plan. When you run that statement in Gematria, it means 2505, and it means to apportion or separate, to divide, to share, to divide among themselves. Look here. He's showing you that that's the peace. That's the plan that Pastor showed in the number there. This could be their salvation. Can I have my next slide? Because the next number, 2388, it means joining, made repairs, carried out repairs, take courage. Remember Pastor's urgent plea? Urge, be urgent, of sound of a trumpet as it grows louder and louder. Okay? Can I have my next slide? The next number is 398. And if you look on page 398 of your book of Yahweh, you'll see what the word number 398 is used there. They're talking about the Feast of Trumpets, the first Feast of Trumpets after they made the repairs on the temple back in Ezra and Nehemiah's day. My final slide. Pastor said on page 7 of the temple brochure, these measurements were given to us to be used to build the temple now. Look at the numbers. 5239 means to make an end, to complete. The other number, 4338, means deliverance, safety, from 4337. And from 3467 means brought salvation, endowed with salvation, to free or help to bring salvation. Remember, this could be the salvation of Israel and Yada. Pastor promised this. Yahweh promised it. Now, will they listen? Remember, Pastor came, born in 34, came to Abilene in 67. In 67 was the Six-Day War. On 6-7-6-7, the Temple Mount was taken again by the Israelis. Think of these things. Remember these numbers. And think about the beautiful things that Yahweh is showing us, backing up our seventh Moloch 1,000%. No, 1,074%. Right? Now, if you'd all please stand, my time is up. And may Yahweh continue to bless everyone's understanding. If you'd all please stand, and I'd like to turn it over now to one of Yahweh's great priests, the great Kohen Yehuda Hawkins.
Shalom. Please be seated. Pastor asked me to bring something today that's a little bit different than what you've been hearing. While you're listening, if you will, please turn to Genesis chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. It's on page 7 in your book of Yahweh. Genesis 10, verses 1 through 10. Pastor called me and he asked me about a Hebrew word that's written in Scripture. Now, wherever you see the word Greece or Greek in Scripture, the Hebrew word that they translated into any language other than Hebrew, whether it's Ionia, Greece, Greek, or whatever, it's a Hebrew word, Yawan, Yodwah Nun Shafit. This word is listed on page 557 of a Hebrew and Chaldic lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means to stomp, to press, to subdue, to oppress, soft, and he said this, pile of sewage, dirty slime, trodden down and bruised. I know that a lot of vulgar thoughts can come out of this, and I regret that these things are brought out, but it points out something. Keep that definition in mind from Dr. First, and let's read Genesis 10, verses 1 through 10. Because it shows a bigger picture, like Lowell Thomas used to say, this is the big picture. It's an old TV show, news show, and everything. Now, these are the beginnings of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and sons were born to them after the flood. The sons of Yet were Gomer, Magog, Madai, Yawan. The sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz, Riphat, and Togarma. Now remember, Yawan means those who stomp down, oppress, subdue others, and of course, sewage and all that other thing. The sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz, Riphat, and Togarma. The sons of Yawan were Elisha, that's Elisha with an E, Tarshish, a well-known town. Eventually, there was a town named this in Spain, and a Hebrew researcher that says the Apostle Shaul knew about this. Kittim and Dodanim. From these are the coastline Gentile peoples, Goyim, were separated into their lands, like these were all nations, everyone according to his own language, according to their families, unto their nations. The sons of Ham were Cush, Mitzrayim, Put, and Canaan. They translate Canaan, but it should be Canaan in Hebrew. The sons of Cush were Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Ra'ama, Sabtaka, and the sons of Ra'ama were Sheba and Dedan. Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. He was a tyrant who deceived, who turned against Yahweh. Therefore, it is like Nimrod, the tyrant who deceived and turned against Yahweh. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, or Babylon, Erech, Akkad, and all of them were in the land of Shinar, that is Babylon. I'm going to repeat what Pastor said here, because it is true. There's no question. Pastor has said many times that these names are not just names of people or nations of old. In fact, some of these are not names at all, but types of people. In this sense, that accept or believe in a certain way of life. In other words, they want to believe in this. They want to live this way. So you can add Sodom and Gomorrah to this mess. And Pastor instead has shown and said these are names. These names are indicators of a certain type of individual who does certain kinds of sin. For example, in Canaan, or in Canaan, a word or name that any older lexicon will show you, it means a salesman who sells by lying. Better known as a vacuum cleaner salesman, I guess. The Lingua Sacra by David Levi, volume 2, page 397 in PDF, says this is not the name of a person, nation, race, or faith. It is the name of someone who lies. And so you bring that Just and the thing is, when these names are going to have to be researched, and it's going to begin a project shortly to find what every one of these names that's in this Genesis 1 through 10 means. So the research is going to start. The Hebrew, there may be some Canaanite. As I said, we had to dig through that Greek to get to it and all that other stuff. But the business is, the same is true for Yawan. This word means a person who stomps, who presses down, who subdues, who oppresses, who is or lives a soft life of pleasure. Yes, who is a pile of sewage, who is a dirty slime, who treads down, who bruises. Now, what you have heard in pastor's sermons is that pastor goes on to say these people are all part of a worldwide religious and political system identified as a whole to be Nimrod or Babylon. Or in Daniel and Revelation, what do they call it? Anyone got an idea? Someone said it a little louder. The beast. The beast. Well, all I'm going to tell you is, as usual, pastor is right. Every supposed name in Genesis chapter 10 that the Holy are identified in many places by the Holy Scriptures as Gentile nations, unbelievers, false religions, and God worshipers, churches, assemblies, violent ones, warriors, etc., is a part of this facet of this beast spoken in Daniel in the book of Revelation. But what's going to occur to those that stomp, that press to subdue? They are a pile of sewage, dirty slime, trodden down, bruised. They bruise and beat up people. How do you bruise and beat up people? The psalmist said, we are for peace, but what are they for?
War.
War. They are for war always. So, if you will now, go to Revelation chapter 21, verse 6. It's on page 985. The warning is given here. What Genesis 10, verses 1 through 0, in fact, the whole chapter, you can take this as an assurance. It gives you a detailed outline of what is known as what? The beast. I'm talking about the people that are not of the righteous lineage, that like the people and Yeshua's lineage and so forth. I'm talking about everybody but that. The point is, though, Nimrod, Yawan, all these are part of what? The beast. And what do? They are for what? But what does Yahweh say about this? That's what Revelation 21:6 says. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers, do not warriors kill? And whoremongers and sorcerers and worshippers of gods, the Canaanites, remember what a Canaanite is? What is he or she? A liar. That's what the word means. Will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, because they will cease to exist forever. And that's what it's about. When Revelation talks about the beast or the beasts, it is talking about all this big system that's outlined in Revelation. Genesis. I was on the wrong end of the book. Genesis, the first end of the book, chapter 10. In other words, Yahweh very brilliantly showed you when he said, when he had Daniel and Yochanan start talking about a beast, he showed you, he already outlined what this beast is and who is part of it in every way, starting with places like Genesis chapter 10. But one thing it says, come out of her, come out of them, O people of Yahweh. And don't let anyone lie to you, and don't let anyone fool you. Don't fall away. Don't go back to church. Don't go back to the assemblies. Don't go back wherever or whatever. Stay put, because as the scripture said, the kingdom is at hand. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And I turn the service over to the great Kohen Ilya Hyler Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. And we start off in the news showing just how different this system is, even from a young age, that we see out in this world today. The very difference of what is done in this world and what is done in the house of Yahweh. And it starts out with a video that was shown on CBS News. And it shows a daycare center where children are actually encouraged to fight each other. And they recorded it as the teachers cheered them on as the one young man is being brutally punched in the head by another. Here the authority is cheering them on and getting them to do it. And, oh, wow, you're such a great guy for doing this. And then it goes to a video from Ohio that leaked out where here's a juvenile detention center with young teens. And the guards are placing bets on them, letting them fight, locking them in the cells or locking them in rooms and encouraging them to beat each other. Beat each other. That literally knock each other down to demoralize someone and literally encourage it. And the guards are placing bets on who will win. Well, that's what this system's teaching. And of course, if you can keep your children away from that, then you have to guard them from the priest in Buffalo and other Catholic churches to where they're molesting the children and none of the bishops, the authorities that are supposed to guard their diocese, of course, are supposed to protect them, what they say. But you have to remember, whenever these bishops have been arrested for these things, they say, well, I can't say, as the one in St. Louis said, I can't say that I knew that molesting a child was wrong, because they don't teach that it's wrong. They teach it's part of their ritual. Remember the sermons that were brought about the third eye, and go back and listen to those for more explanation of what's being done. But it's to disturb, to corrupt, to confuse the mind. And it's their way of teaching. It's their way of living. It's a very confusing way, but it's what they do. And that's why when someone says, why didn't you report it? Well, it's because they say, well, I can't say that I think anything's wrong with it. When you're guilty of it, of course, you don't want to tell on everybody else, because you will go down with them. And Babylon will fall. The whole system will fall. And then we're going to get into the petrodollar. It's very important, extremely important, that everybody understands this petrodollar and how important it is to the economical system of the United States. And there's two videos that will explain it, but I want you to consider this. Let's say you are the United States. You yourself are the United States. And Saudi Arabia has oil, and Saudi Arabia has said that we will use your money to sell our oil. And let's say I'm a country and I need dollars because I need oil for my country. And I come to you and I say, I need to get dollars. You say to me, well, what can you sell me? And I'll give you dollars. Let's say I sell you 1 million digital, iPads. And you say, okay. And you go to your copy machine and you print out the money and pay me. And then you take the merchandise and you sell it. You collect taxes on it. The stores inside your country, they make profit. They pay taxes on it. The United States became very rich on just printing out money and not really working for it. They just printed it out and sent it out. To the point to where when they had the gold standard and France come to ask for their gold back, the United States said no. Because gold was supposed to be printed. A dollar was supposed to be, it was supposed to be $35 an ounce back when they had the gold standard. And it was done in a trust system. And this was back in the 40s and 50s, all the way up into the early 70s. Well, the United States maybe had, we'll say, $1 million in gold, and they printed out $1 billion in dollars for that gold. So they made it to where there was really no standard to make your money worth anything. The only reason your dollar is worth something is because you believe it's worth something, and the store you spend it at believes it's worth something. It's really not worth anything. But as long as you believe it's worth something, it has value. And remember the peaceful solution. Value is where you place importance. Russia doesn't see value in the U.S. dollar. They know it's worthless. China does not see value in the U.S. dollar. They know it's worthless. Syria knows it's worthless. Iran knows it's worthless. Now, some of these other countries like Germany, they know it's worthless too, but it's a very complicated system that is being created by this beast and the one who wants to rule like the beast. It's a system to where, take Germany for example. Germany is buying oil from Russia now. The United States has said, we will sanction you. Well, they're not paying with a petrodollar when they buy from Germany, but they do a lot of business with the United States that keeps their economy going. And if the United States cuts Germany's economy down, where else can Germany go get it? A lot of these things are so intertwined, countries just can't drop what they're doing. And that's why you see Russia, China, India, South America, Brazil. That's why you see the BRICS banking system. They're trying to create a whole new system to escape what's going on. And then while all this is going on, China has told its military, the president told its military, make ready for war. Get ready for war. And then you have General Mattis who's talking about Yemen. Now, it's coming out now that Yemen has a lot of untapped oil reserves. And they say Saudi Arabia wants those oil reserves. They want that for themselves. Well, the United States, remember, they made an agreement to protect Saudi Arabia with this petrodollar as long as they accepted these dollars. But when China's buying oil from Russia, they don't need a petrodollar. And Russia has more oil than Saudi Arabia. They export more oil than Saudi Arabia. It's important to remember that. But still, China's very intertwined into the United States. They've got to find a way to get out of it. Listen very carefully to what the spokesman says. What can America do with China trying to pull out from the petrodollar? And the man says very clearly, there's only one thing they can do. What they always do. You go to war. When Libya, Muammar Gaddafi tried to set a standard of paying for oil with gold, he was killed. When Saddam Hussein tried to set a standard of paying for oil with the petro euro, he was killed. China is also trying to set a standard. Russia is also trying to set a standard. They're trying to escape what we know as sanctions, where you cannot buy, sell, nor trade unless you give this authority, you take this mark from the beast. That's why they're trying to get out of this petrodollar. It's trying to escape sanctions. But you have to realize, as someone who lives in the United States, without the petrodollar being used, the economy collapses. Because it's built on nothing but false hope and money on a country that is trillions of dollars in debt. But unless the oil is bought on the petrodollar, it falters. But also listen to General Mattis when he calls for the peace treaty. He's calling for a 30-day peace treaty in Yemen. And he says, I've been around war a lot. There's nothing but one tragedy after the next. And he doesn't say it like it's a bad thing. He says it like it's a threat. You're going to keep experiencing one tragedy after the next if you don't do what we say. But pay close attention to this petrodollar. And I want to read you something Pastor said. This is out of the 12th book of Yisrael, part 1. Pastor says, it's chapter 11, verse 70, 12th book of Yisrael, part 1. But there's more behind it in Iran than a nuclear bomb. There's more behind it than Iran has a nuclear bomb or going to develop a nuclear bomb. That's not behind it. The root of the evil is the lust for money. A root of all evil is the lust for money. Oil is that one that satisfies the lust. Of course, mammon, oil and wine. Hurt not the oil and wine, and that's what you see taking place here. If the petrodollar falters, you're going to see the way of life in the United States change greatly because China alone is worth $116 billion in oil revenue every year. They've already lost that because China no longer buys oil with the petrodollar. So if we could go ahead and please pay the news. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael Abel Hawkins.
Wow, we got a full house here today, almost. Come on. We're all yours, Yahweh. You may be seated. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Okay. We're on. On the air. Remember Yeshua's words on this petrodollar now. The love for money is the root of all evil. And of course, that's what we're seeing right there. And they're bringing that out on the on the news right now. Also, remember what I told you years ago, that the United States is going to be strong right up to the very end. And that strength, of course, is shown in Revelation 13 to be used to make all nations like the first beast. All nations. They want all nations. I want to bring to your remembrance what I brought out last week. There's always several subjects in this lead up to the nuclear war, as you saw the last part there. And the man says all of this is coming up to start nuclear war. Well, of course, that's what the scripture shows too. The final one, the resting on Damascus, all these prophecies rest on Damascus. Remember that. The number in scripture is giving us a lot of information on our past work. If you noticed, a lot of information showing that Yahweh inspired these books and the magazines and everything to be printed and put out to the public. It started with the mark of the beast, and of course that's what the hidden codes show too. The hidden codes of the Bible. I bought that program, by the way, for Elder Gedalia many, many years ago. And of course, he got sick, but he did use it some. But I'm glad to get it in operation again, because that's the book that I said we went to San Angelo. It was Shaul said it was actually California, where we went to that meeting with a group of Hebrew men who had this book. That's the hidden codes. Now, the number in Scripture is totally a different book. It came out here in the United States in 67, the same year that I was brought to Abilene. 67. Last week, and you need to remember these scriptures now. The scriptures are more important than anything. Revelation 17, they're going to come against the Lamb. Chapter 9 of Daniel, we got into that last week, but we'll get into it 40 more times before this sermon is over. Daniel gives us what rose up here was the quartet, and he said four rose up. If you'll look at Daniel again right now, I want you to understand that he was prophesying. Daniel was prophesying here. He is under inspiration, and he is telling us, you. He's telling you, the house of Yahweh, what is going to be in the last days, not in their time period. theirs was assigned to write everything for us, everything for the house of Yahweh in these last days. The book of Revelations, the same way. It was written for us, not for anyone else. History shows it's penned up, it's put in prison. It wasn't even taken out of prison. Yochanan was in prison when he wrote this. And it was collected and put with the rest of the disciples' work in prison. And now Yahweh's prophets' work. Yahweh was gathering these prophecies himself. That's what he tells you in Isaiah 34:16. He was gathering them, putting them together for us. They stayed in prison 1,500 years. No one had a book of Yahweh. No one had a Bible. They came out just before I was born so they could That is, the work started. Years before I was born, a few years before I was born, not many. But I had to have a Bible in order to learn it, to be teaching this last day's message to the world. Well, here in Daniel, he shows the last end in verse 9 of the indignation. We'll cover that more fully, but just get this in your mind. For at the time appointed, the end will be. Then he shows two nations involved here. This is actually, David will probably be bringing that out, but it actually works here that involve the forming of the quartet. And then in verse 22, now because it broke off and four, that is the two verses before that, before this broke off or stopped, from that came out four, stood. Well, when was it? Verse 23. And in the last days of their kingdom, when sin, transgression, has reached its peak, then you start seeing the destruction here. That's our time. That's this generation, as Yahshua spoke of in Matthew 24. We covered that this week. Remember it, because I'm going to cover it again in the next sermon. And if you forget it, you won't understand what I'm going to bring next. That's a problem, is people forget. So it would help if you could rehearse these during the week and get it to where it's a part of your life, a part of your brain, where somebody mentions something. The tefillins, that they pronounce phylacteries. They never pronounce anything like it's spelled. But if you remember, Yahshua said, they make them bigger to be seen by men. They make their stripe, their seats longer, and things like this to be recognized of men. But the actual fact was that little box was put on the forehead. Now, Talmud tells you this. The scriptures don't. It's not in the scriptures, so we don't use it. But reminders is a great thing. And this little box had a scripture in it that fastened up here. It had to be wrapped just so-and-so. The Talmud gives you exact measurements, and then the one for the arm, same way. Well, this is just a reminder. And, of course, that's what these scriptures are for, too, to keep reminding you, to calling to your remembrance. You don't have to spend 100 years on a black box. We got it right here in front of us. It's called the Tree of Life. The Tree of Life. It was taken away from the people and never given to them again until Revelations, the 10th chapter. Yahweh gave it to them to eat. Remember in the second chapter of Genesis? Revelations 10, take this tree and eat it. Y'all remember those scriptures? Anybody that don't? Take this tree and eat it. Well, I'll get into it later and explain it more. Whether you understood it or not, I'll get into it later and explain it more. But anyway, we come up to a quartet. Well, that quartet that he mentioned there for the last days, we see here. And it wasn't even called a quartet until 2002. But it was prophesied back here in Daniel in the year 538 BY. And here in this generation that started in 1934 with the start of the nuclear bomb, the start of the increase in knowledge, that's when it was written for. All these prophecies that Daniel mentioned. So you didn't hear of a quartet back then, but he tells you what they're going to do. The scripture says these four is going to rise, and this is what's going to take place with them in the last days when sin has reached its peak.
The clouds in our heavens are screwed up with STDs. Now, there's an article just came out this week where science just discovered that. I told you this on that stage over there many years ago. The mad cow disease that I said, this is really going to get bad. Satan wants to mess the food up like she has everything else, defile the whole earth. Because they've defiled the earth, they're cursed from the earth. Remember that? You're cursed from the earth. Well, those curses that Yahweh pronounced in Genesis 2 and 3, he said, these are going to come upon you. He even reinforced it in Deuteronomy 28. He said, if you don't keep these laws, these curses are going to come upon you. The priesthood was totally changed at that time because the priesthood wasn't meant to doctor diseases. They weren't meant to be doctors. But when they rejected the laws of Yahweh, which they did, the stiff-necked and rebellious people, they rejected the laws of Yahweh, then the sicknesses from Egypt and all the countries that he had driven out before them started developing. So Yahweh said, you've got to quarantine these people. Yahweh was protecting his work at that time. His work was coming forth from Abraham to this generation, to Yahshua's generation, then this generation. Those were the last works. The two witnesses is the last works. The others took place before us. But we are the last works. And when the seventh Moloch, the seventh messenger, which is described as one of the witnesses, the spokesman that Yahweh chose to bring this in the last days and offer you salvation, the bread sacks. I didn't bring the bread sacks. And it had that message on it this morning. It's so neat. Maybe I'll bring it to you next week. it was really really neat and quoted some scriptures for you. Well, anyway, each one of these little things, these sins that we produce, that our parents produced back then, starting with Adam and Eve, they went into the genes of the people. And of course, each family, each generation, from that point, the next generation inherited it and then added to it. The next one followed the same way. But in Yahweh's plan being produced and brought forth with it, he had to put out certain information to the priest. Quarantine these people. Don't let them back in the camp. Notice the color of the hair. Yeah, I know you can remember some of these things, but the priests became doctors, and to try to keep the disease from spreading to the forefathers who brought forth Yahshua and the forefathers who brought forth the last day's work. In Daniel 8, and look at verse 22 closely here. Now, because it broke off, and whereas four stood, it's not called a quartet, but quartet means four. In its place, four kingdoms will stand up out of that nation. Now, not many nations, did you see that? Out of that nation, that's you only. Of all the families of the earth, you only have I dealt with. Yada is still holding that staff of being the lawgiver. And they're going to stand up out of that nation. They're going to come forth, but they're named here, and the rulership where they are leading the nations is also named in the news that we see today. And they're called the quartet, but not with not with, it should be their own power there instead of his own power. I think David brought that out just recently. That nation is shown in verse 11. But let's go on here to number verse 23. And in the last days of their kingdom, when the transgressions have reached their peak, that's the reason I brought forth and told you about the mesquite lizard last week and how complicated it is. How complicated is a butterfly or a grain of wheat? You see some little animal running or one flying through the air like a grasshopper. You should take delight. You really should think, try to make something like that. This will show you how ignorant you are right now if you'll just try to make a butterfly. You know, I was reading where a scientist said he could make an egg better than the one we got. Well, they're putting them on the market now. They look like an egg. They got a shell. They got a yellow inside and a white inside. There's something missing. You know, you could, all the hens in the country couldn't hatch a chicken out of it. There's no food value in it as far as I can see, and they call it better than eggs. Well, of course, hey, praise Yahweh. Speak and it shall be done. If you can hear me and read this at the same time, that Yisrael Abel Hawkins, who stands beside you to assist you, he shall enter my kingdom. Encourage him, for he shall cause the called out ones, the called out, to enter my kingdom also. Believe in Yahweh, your Father, and you shall be established. Believe his, oh, by the way, that was Deuteronomy 1:28 that they were quoting there. Believe in Yahweh, your Father, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall succeed. And that one is 2 Chronicles 20:20. Well, that's exactly what you have to do, believe it or not. You've got to believe, and Yahshua says you're a fool, Luke 24:25, if you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken. But notice here now, verse 23 again, the last days of their kingdom, and then look at verse 25, and through his policy, he will cause craft, deceit, and fraud to succeed. Now, this is speaking of an organization that started in Genesis 10, the Nimrod system. So all of this is a buildup from that system, and it's ending and where it ends. He will cause it to succeed in his hand and will magnify himself in his heart. And by peace, he will destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes. The prince of princes. This gives him away right here. The he that we're speaking of here. This gives him away. He stands up against the prince of princes, but he will be broken without hands. In Revelation 17:14, they will make war against the Lamb. That word Lamb there actually could be translated princes. In Acts 3:15, let's read that one. I know you're familiar with Revelation 17. He comes against the Lamb, makes war against the Lamb. He. And then Acts 3:15, there's two princes, by the way. One of them is the prince of demons, and the other one is what you see right here in Acts 3 and in verse 15. And they killed the prince of life, that was Yahshua Messiah, whom Yahweh raised from the dead. Of this we are witnesses, he said. Look at verse 14. They denied the Holy One, the just, and demanded that a murderer should be released to them. So he's speaking of Yahshua Messiah, that's his history. And look at chapter 5 of Acts, chapter 5 and verse 31. Him has Yahweh exalted. Verse 30, the father of our fathers raised up Yahshua, whom you sacrificed by hanging on a tree. Him has Yahweh exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance and forgiveness of sin to Israel. Yes, and that was his job, and he brought it forth. And, of course, many did follow him and believe, and they will be given an opportunity later to prove themselves. Now, this quartet, the roadmap, the history and structure, it says, the Middle East Quartet emerged from a desire among four principal international players engaged in the peace process. You get that? Don't miss a word here, okay? Get every word. Involved in the peace process. The peace process was what Daniel spoke of in chapter 9. Remember? They will confirm a peace process with Rabin. Chapter 9 of Daniel. Well, this emerged engaged in the peace process. The United Nations, here's one. The United Nations, it's heavily involved right now in everything. And you see this active in the UN. You see it active throughout the whole world. And you see it's guided by the Vatican. And Vatican actually means the divining serpent. The divining serpent, the real serpent, is Satan the devil. This is her divining serpent that is being led by her, and they're doing exactly what she tells them to do. The United Nations, the United States, that's two, the European Union, and the Russian Federation, to consult more closely over the Middle East conflict and its resolution. On the 10th of April, 2002, the government of Spain, representing the rotating presidency of the European Union and the High Representative of the Common Security and Foreign Policy, Javier Solana, hosted the Secretary General of the United Nations, Kofi Annan, U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell, and Russian Foreign Minister Igor Ivanov. Linked to joint statement, these representatives, who had already met at the margins of the 56th General Assembly session in 2001, came to be known as the Four, or Quartet. Now, this is today, in this generation. the quartet principals, who have since continued to meet regularly. Intermittently, Cho's coordination and collaboration between the quartet members has proceeded on the grounds of the envoy level through the United Nations Special Coordinator, the Special Representatives of the European Union, and the Middle East Peace Process, the Special Envoy of the United States, and later the Assistant Secretary of State for the Near East Affairs. And all of these, especially all of these four here, Russia is paying more attention to the Vatican now than she was a few years ago. But now she's given her full attention to what the Vatican says, seems like. In its meeting on April 2002, the quartet laid the foundation for what later became a performance based roadmap to a permanent two-state solution. What are they talking about today? Now, this was April 2002, and they laid the foundation for the two-state solution that is shown in Daniel, by the way, dividing the land for gain, which they're doing right now. 3.5 years, I told you last week, well, I'm getting ahead of myself, let's forget that right now. But the two-state solution, they're the ones that laid the foundation for that two-state solution in April 10th, 2002. The two-state solution to the Israeli and Palestinian conflict, or in short, it's called the roadmap. The roadmap has been accepted by both sides and remains the primary blueprint and reference point for all efforts to end the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. They haven't pushed it aside. That still stands right there. And that's what they're pushing for now to get this back into action. And it is coming along. The opening of the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem. Now, of course, that's part of this quartet's management, which the quartet is led, believe it or not, by the Vatican Church, by the ones that control America. And remember Revelations now, Revelations 13. Revelations 13 shows you, about starting with about verse 15, a two-horned beast. Two-horn, that's Catholics and the Protestants. The two-horned beast, led by the Vatican. You can see this from the laws they pass. And the lawgiver comes from Yada. Remember that. So when they put someone in office, you can bet that one in a Supreme Court is going to do the will of the Catholic Church, or they would never be nominated to begin with. The offices, the political offices, and call them what they want to, Democratic, Republican, whatever. They can call them, or they can create another party, I guess, if they wanted to. But it would still be run by the Catholics. They're the dominant religion. They're the only ones that have a seat in the UN. They're the permanent status now. Yeah. And they voice their opinion, leadership, laws. They're experts in all of this. The priest in the Catholic Church, they have their own doctors where they, with drugs and medicine, they have their own priests who practice the use of vitamins, minerals, corrected diets, and they also quarantine and make them fast and anoint them with oils, trying to get them well, those they want to stay alive. The opening of the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem will close the door on America's key role in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. That's not exactly true, but anyway, what I want to bring you is in the rest of this article. This was May 14, 2018. The U.S. Consulate in Jerusalem, since the signing of the Oslo Accord in 1993, the United States has been the primary negotiator between the Palestinians. That is, Bill Clinton came closest to ending the conflict during his failed Camp David. But the United States, get that, the United States has been the primary negotiator. Turn over to Revelations. Revelations 13. Revelations 13, verse 11. And I saw another beast come up out of the earth. I've explained the first one came up out of the sea where there's multitudes, nations, and tongues. The second one comes up where there's no multitudes, nations, and tongues, where there's a land that Yahweh kept for his house to be established. In the last days, the end of the earth is called. Oklahoma is part of it. Well, he said he saw this one come up out of the earth, and not the sea, but where the multitudes, nations, and tongues, but out of the earth where there was no multitudes, nations, or tongues. And he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke as a dragon. He spoke as the dragon. And if you get that, he didn't just blast out a roaring, burning fire. That's not what he's saying. He spoke as the dragon led him to speak. He is doing what the dragon wanted him to do. Revelations 12:9 says the dragon has deceived the whole world. Yochanan 8:44 said, the dragon is your teacher. Yeshua said, the dragon is your teacher, and you're going to do what the teacher tells you to do. Speaking of Yada, the Yadim, who holds the staff as lawgivers. The United States is being used here, if you'll just look, pay attention here. They speak as the dragon spoke. Let us worship all gods. This is in Genesis 3:5. Don't obey Yahweh. Don't allow Yahweh to be taught. Prevent it. Go kill him. That's what they sent their priest Cain to do. He rose up and killed Abel. Well, the U.S., this two-horned beast, is speaking as the dragon did in Genesis 3:5. Let us be like the gods, doing evil. We'll pass laws to get through this. We can get away with it. All we got to do is pass a law. And Daniel told you that. He was so amazed at the amount of laws that this beast had passed. This is the fourth beast. It started with one. They came to another. Two religions. They came to another strong religion that had a king and everything. And they combined. And the fourth one was the strongest one of all, combining four, supposedly in unity because their soldiers got rich. and he exercised all the authority of the first beast, which was led, and plainly tells you there in verse 4, chapter 13, verse 4, they worshiped the dragon, which gave power to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is able to make war with him?" Well, the same thing here. They spoke as the dragon speaks, and they exercised all the authority of the first beast given unto them by the dragon. First beast before him, and caused the earth, the whole earth, and those who dwell upon it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Well, who's behind this quartet now? You know, you got a quartet here that is being led by the dragon himself, enforced by this two-horned beast, the United States. And he does great wonders. This identifies the United States now again. And he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men and deceives. Verse 14, he deceives those who dwell upon the earth by those acts of power which they had, which he had authority to do in the sight of the beast, saying to those who dwell upon the earth that they should make a likeness of the beast, they'd be like the first beast. Democracy, as they want to call it, which had the wound with the sword and did live. And he had power to give life to the likeness of the beast, that is, the two-horned beast. They gave him power. You just saw this power that he's talking about here. This petrodollar was planned long before it came into action here. It was planned, the laws were set up to where they could maneuver people, maneuver nations to use the petrodollar. Well, now they're wanting out of the petrodollar. But keep in mind, the United States is going to be strong till the very end. And keep in mind the Savior's words now. All evil, the lust for money, those two go together. That the likeness of the beast should both speak and cause as many that as would not worship to not worship the likeness of the beast, that they should be killed. Well, the killing is going on right now. It's been going on for years and years and years, but in this time period, it shows it's going to get worse. One-third of the people around the great river Euphrates, that's where the wars are going on, in that fourth part of the earth, are going to be killed, and they still won't repent even after that takes place. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, that they should give to themselves this mark upon their right hands and their foreheads. Now, the chapters before this shows anyone that takes this mark, you know, they got their sentence pronounced. And, of course, it's going to be burning. Verse 17, and that at no one might buy or sell. Well, you see how the trade war is going here. They're being sanctioned, and they got the power to do so. They got the power to freeze bank accounts. This two-horned beast has the power to freeze bank accounts if the nations don't fall in line with them. They're trying to get around it. And, of course, this is stirring up hatred on both sides here. And as the man said in the very last part, now he said it, I didn't, but the scripture shows that too. He said the only, with these nations that are forming here, the enemies are considered enemies of the house of Yahweh, and they're forming to take away this power of the petrodollar. They're buying and selling because they can't buy or sell. And even if they use something else, they can still be sanctioned. If they use gold, the United States can put a sanction on them. So they have power. They have that power working for them right now, as you see in the news. We're in this time period of Daniel, the 8th chapter there, and, of course, the last part of chapter 9. Now, I want to correct something I said last week, that the suspension that was given by Clinton when the peace treaty was formed. Now, they in order to that it not be disposed of, Clinton wrote up a suspension order where the president could sign it, and whether the actions were taken or not, it would just pass on to another 6 months. And for 22 years, I read that to you last week, for 22 years, the president's every 6 months has been signing that suspension to this peace agreement, this peace plan that was signed in 1993. For 22 years, every 6 months, the president has to sign it or it goes into action. I said that Trump did not sign it, but he did. I found out last afternoon of the Sabbath that he did sign it on June 4th, 2018. Now, the next time it comes up, get this date. Get this date. It's really important. Everybody, get it. This date was brought out this morning, right? Cohan Krause, did you bring the 612 out this morning?
12-6, yes.
You did? Okay. The next signing of this is 612. Yes, Michael Ossoff brought down. Also, we got some more besides this to bring out on that number 612. But in the six months, he signed this now in June 4th, 2018. The 6 months is up, 12-6. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the song leader. Brethren, make every minute count. Don't waste a minute of study. You need it. Stay in the classes. When you go home, don't play. Don't play. Have something planned that you can study when you get home. If you only put in 8 hours, there's no way that I've ever in my life put in just 8 hours. When I was on the police department, I had a business going after I got off of the police department. But I've always been that way. Right now, I'm putting in more hours than ever in the house of Yahweh. I put in about 16 to 18 hours a day. And sometimes a little less, but most of the time that much. But when you get off work, don't go home and play or turn televisions on or telephones on. Have it planned what you're going to study so you can sit down and learn that lesson and be looking forward to it and thinking about it throughout the day. You'll become a great priest in the house of Yahweh, if you will. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.